The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. I think I may say this about every liturgical season. There are some seasons Advent is my favorite, but there are things that I love about each season of the church year. And we have just entered into this season called the season after Pentecost, also known as, are you ready for it? Ordinary time. Very exciting season, ordinary time. But what I love about the season after Pentecost is we get all of the rich Old Testament readings that remind us of that foundation that is so familiar to each of us, most of us from childhood and stories, but it's the foundation that Jesus teaches upon. And so throughout this summer, not that we don't hear from the Old Testament most weeks, but this summer in particular, we're going to hear the stories in succession, and we'll hear stories of creation and how community was formed. We're going to hear of challenges and curses and relationships won and relationships broken, all coming out of the Old Testament. And at the same time, we will hear again the teachings of Jesus that help remind us about the life that we are called to live. However, to kick off this great season of ordinary time, we have the super awkward, extraordinary Sunday called Trinity Sunday. And it wouldn't be Trinity Sunday without the requisite joke about the rector getting someone else to preach. But the truth be told, I kind of like Trinity Sunday, and I get mad when, for scheduling reasons, I have to give it up. And part of it is, I'm fascinated with the Trinity. Yes, I've spent my time studying it, but I also know that my job is not to explain to you a fundamental doctrine of our faith that took over 100 years to formulate and has been written tomes upon tomes by authors through the ages. I don't have to sum that up for you in a tidy 10-minute sermon. So if you think that's what we're here for today, you're wrong. Rather, our job today, our job on Trinity Sunday, is to hear the lessons and to think about, to explore together relationship. Because relationship is the fundamental root of the Trinity, three in one and one in three, each different and unique from one another, yet each part of one God. In our first lesson, we hear that wonderful, magnificent creation story, the beginning of God's beginning of creation as we know it, the beginning of our beginning with God. And did you hear, were you listening to how each part of creation came from the other? And that while separated, they're still connected, though no longer the same. And yet they work together, light and darkness, land and water, birds and fish, plant and animals, humanity, with all aspects of creation. This reading reminds us that every fiber of our being is connected to the world around us. We aren't just connected to each other, rather we're connected to land, to animals, to plants, to the water, to the mountains and the deserts. Our fundamental selves are in relationship with creation with every breath that we take. And when we turn to the gospel, we hear this similar theme of relationship. Jesus tells the disciples to go out and make more disciples. And what Jesus does is he challenges them. Jesus doesn't say, go make disciples of your friends, go make disciples of your family, go make disciples of the people you know in your village. You know, go make disciples with the people who look like you and talk like you. No. Nah. Jesus is pretty blunt that the disciples, and in turn we, are to go out and make disciples of all nations. All nations. So in this statement, Jesus is definitive that the people like us and the people unlike us are all equal. We all deserve the same gospel message. We were all created for the same kingdom living, and we are, again, in relationship with each other, period. No exceptions. And after throwing down this challenge to go and make disciples of all nations, Jesus gives a kicker of a line. He tells the disciples, go to these people you don't know. Share the good news without judgment. And figure out how to be in relationship with them. Because that's what making disciples is. But then after giving them this task, Jesus turns to them and says, I am with you always. I am with you always. To the end of the age, God is always with us. God is always in relationship through us. Through our creation, through our baptism, we are children of God. And we cannot ever walk away from the Creator who loves us. We cannot walk away from the Redeemer who saved us. We cannot walk away from the Sustainer who is always with us, because one second we walk away, they're following us. We can walk as far as we want, but God is with us always because we are always in relationship with God. Relationship with creation, relationship with each other, and relationship with God. Just as we see in the Trinity, we are created for relationship, which you would think seems easy, which it is some of the time. But it becomes more challenging when we start using our brains over our hearts, and that's part of our human creation also. But if we look at our relationship with creation, we're constantly having to make decisions about best use of creation and how we as humans are going to be in relationship. Do we drill for oil so we can drive our cars, fly in planes, build our houses? Or do we return to a society that has a smaller geographic circle, such as the disciples did? Or do we start to figure out how to use renewable energy? I'm not making a decision here or promoting one. The question is, how are we in relationship with creation? And we're Californians, so we're talking about this all the time. It's in our daily life. How do we use our water? Do we agree or disagree with drought restrictions? Where do we put hiking trails? What do we think about butterfly sanctuaries? We are constantly called to balance our needs for humanity against the needs of creation to continue. And so I am not promoting one decision over another, but I'm asking, how do we make those decisions as individuals? How do we make those decisions? And I don't care which side of the aisle you're on, this is for all of us. How often do we consider what God is calling us to do? How often do we consider what God's creation is asking us for? And how do we consider what we are asking creation to give to us? Where is God in our relationship with creation? And then relationship with each other. Jesus is our example. Jesus points out that we're constantly having to make decisions about who we're in relationship with. By telling the disciples to make disciples in every nation, Jesus understands that not all relationships are going to be easy. Yet all the same, Jesus calls the disciples, and by that calls us. Calls us by our baptism into relationship with those who are unlike us from every nation. Now, back in the time of Jesus, every nation were those people, 2 days boat journey, 5 days by foot, who looked different and spoke different and ate differently. But I would hazard to say that in our day and age, nation might be viewed differently. We are different nations by race. We are different nations by socioeconomic class. We are different nations by our geography, just ask any Californian. We are different by our gender, or sometimes by our politics. And so when Jesus calls us to be in relationship with every nation, we continue to be challenged. We see someone wearing a red baseball cap and we decide if we want to walk away or not. We see a person with dark skin and we wonder if they have documents or not. We see a homeless person and we wonder why they don't just go get a job. And we see our friends at church and we are at ease with one another. We cannot strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being if we start making exceptions, which is what each and every one of us does. It seems so easy to forget that every creature, every human being has God with us. Every person who draws breath has Emmanuel within them. And it's so easy to find where we are different rather than where relationship can begin, even if it is on rocky soil. And that leaves us with our relationship with God as if the first two weren't hard enough. I wonder on this Trinity Sunday, where do we let God into our life? Do we like to keep God segregated into prayer time and Sunday mornings? Or do we expand God into other areas? Do we let God into our politics? Do we let God into our finances? Do we let God into our decision making? Do we let God into our family relationships? No doubt about it, we are challenged to stay in relationship with a God who is with us always. God is so perfect at the always. And I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm always striving towards the always. It's just right there beyond. And so just like our relationships with people, our relationship with God is organic. And just like creation, our relationship with God needs our time, requires our energy, demands our nurturing, and simply asks for our attention. The Trinity, three in one and one in three. We as God's creation are called to be in the same symbiotic relationship with creation, with God, and with one another. Through the Trinity, we are all one. Through the Trinity, we are all connected. Through the Trinity, we are all fundamentally relationship. Amen.